believe it was Samuel DeWitt Proctor, a now deceased a black preacher, pastor, and educator, who once said, and I think it's important to know this, there are three major goals a pastor, teacher, or preacher should seek every time they mount the pulpit. Y'all want to get this? At least three major goals, so you know if you're not getting this, then maybe something's wrong. First of all, the preacher, the pastor, the teacher, is his or her goal should be, number one, to inform the mind of the people about God's truth and his will. Then the second goal of the preacher should be is to inflame or to set the hearts on fire with love for the truth. We live in a world now that there's so many lies going on that you don't know the truth from a lie, but the man or woman that mounts the pulpit should set your hearts on fire and a desire for the truth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says the truth is liberating. It'll set you free. Does anybody in here know that the truth will liberate you? Jesus said he was, he is the truth. And then thirdly, the goal of the pastor, teacher, or the preacher is to inspire the will of the hearers to do what God wants them to do. All right? Y'all remember James says not just a hearer, but a doer. A whole lot of people hear the word of God, but they don't apply the word of God. Okay? So the message should be both practical and cognitive. Is that clear?
Yeah.
When you're listening, you don't want to waste your time coming to church. You need to hear a word from the Lord. The word should be practical, cognitive. It should touch your hearts with emotion, and at the same time should inform your mind about what's going on. Amen, somebody. Don't let anybody say you come to church, you don't know what the preacher's saying or she's saying. Well, something wrong with that picture. It's more than just shouting and screaming and jumping. You ought to inform me. This thing, I'm going to have to use this one on too. See, that we're having sound. And guess what? The enemy's trying to get busy with that, but we're going to overcome the sound issue. Amen. And with that being said, let's begin this morning reading from, here we go, Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. That's where we're going to begin our reading. Genesis chapter 5. I'm reading from the New King James Version because it says some words specifically relating to what our title is this morning. Genesis chapter 5, verses 21 through 24. Amen. God does not want us to be ignorant. He does not want us to be caught up in just emotion, but he wants us to learn something, to hear something, enough that it would make us want to do something when we leave from here. Too many people come to church and leave out the same way. Something wrong with that picture. There ought to be some conviction. There ought to be something. I mean, we almost everybody said we say that saved folk ought to be convicted. Not only feel good, but sometimes the word will make you feel bad. Pulpit to the door, ceiling to the floor. No one is exempt. Verse 21 of Genesis 5. Are y'all with me? It says, Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Verse 22, after he begot, that means after he became the father, after he begot Methuselah, Enoch, listen, walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years. Verse 24. Y'all don't want to miss this. And Enoch walked with God. And he was not, for God took him. understand, the New Living Translation says, for those that don't understand, he walked with God and he was not. The other translation, New Living Translation, says in verse 23, Enoch lived 365 years, verse 24, walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. Is that making sense? That's why I switch sometimes different translations. He was not, well, God took him. I want to talk around the thought, the subject this morning, this Father's Day. A father's legacy. He walked with God. A father's legacy. He walked with God. Father God, we come once again before your presence in Jesus' name, just to give you praise, glory, and honor. We pray, God, that you would convict, convince, and convert everyone under the sound of my voice, those that are watching at home, that are listening and are not in this place. Have your way, God. Do what only you can do. We all need to hear from you today, right now. And we submit to you. Have your way in us. Through this message, God, you get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. And we promise ahead of time to give you back all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. With thanksgiving always. Amen. Holy Ghost, help me to get through all of this for the next 25 minutes or so. Understand, as it relates to specifically to the Enoch mentioned in this passage this morning. And I need to be clear on that, because there may be some theological students or professors. I get emails sometimes from professors from seminary that say, we watched you, George Pointer. Amen. Not that I'm intimidated, but I want to be theologically correct. Amen, somebody? Understand there are at least four different men in the Bible named Enoch. And they are found in, y'all want to get this, or if you don't get it clear, go back and watch it on YouTube or Facebook. Four different men in the Bible named Enoch. You see it mentioned in his name, Genesis chapter 4, verse 17. Genesis chapter 5, verse 18. But notice in Genesis chapter 25, verse 4, the New King James Version, the NLT, NIV, calls him Hanok rather than Enoch. While other translations, such as the Darby translation, says Enoch. And then Genesis 46:9, he's called Hanok, which has also been translated Enoch. All right? Because you got some, which Enoch he's talking? Well, I'm telling you, the Enoch mentioned in Genesis 5:18, that's the Enoch that the Bible gives significant information about. And this Enoch that we're talking about in our message this morning, it's found in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, verse 22 to 24, here in our text. And the Enoch that we're talking about here in our text, we just read it. Listen, he was the, listen, great, 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 great grandson of Adam. Y'all didn't hear that. Great, 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 four greats. It's grandson of Adam. And understand, I'm going somewhere. The name Enoch means dedicated, trained, and disciplined. That's the Enoch we're talking about in our message this morning. He was dedicated. Is anybody listening? He was trained. Are you listening? And he was disciplined. I'm talking about a father's legacy. He walked with God. We don't want to insult your intelligence, but just in case somebody might say, clear up what a legacy is. A legacy is something that is passed on. Something that can be thought of in more than one way. A legacy may reveal to you, may reveal your faith, your ethics, and your core values. Legacy. Your ethics have to do with your personal convictions or the rules that guide your behavior. Some people have stronger ethics than other people. It depends upon how you were raised and who raised you. Oh. Understand that your ethics combined with your core values means you value not only yourself, but you also value the worth, rights, and values of other people. Not enough people have ethics today. They don't care about other people, but God says you and I ought to. Legacy may be monetary or your assets. A legacy may come from your character, your reputation, and the life you lead. Everybody in here, we're talking about fathers. Mothers too, but everybody has a legacy that you're going to leave. When you pass away, what are they going to most think about you? Your legacy. Let me give you a few examples of what a father hopes to be remembered by his children for when his life is over. Y'all with me? Y'all going to help me preach or you're going to make it hard? Just to name a few examples. A father wants to be remembered by his children, listen, for number one, knowing how to speak up or how to stand up for what you believe. Amen, somebody. A father wants to be remembered by the value of hard work. I'm going somewhere with that one. A father wants to be remembered for being persistent to see three things through. Remembered for taking care of his body and his health with exercise and eating the right foods. Just for a moment, Jonas, I'm on it. I'm on it. My son and a few people know I'm on it. I'm feeling better for being on it. I had a station down the basement for 20 years. Didn't use it, but I'm on it. Y'all. too much information. Let's move on. Father should be remembered or wants to be remembered for treating everybody with respect. Too many disrespectful young folk out here. Am I right about it? Father wants to be remembered for being responsible. It takes a man, a strong man, to admit he made a mistake and being truthful. Some people won't admit, some men, if this was Mother's Day, I would say some women, don't want to admit when you're wrong. Say they had it coming to them. You wrong as two left shoes, but they had it coming to them. You're wrong. Father wants to be remembered as loving his family. He wants to be remembered for not allowing his failures to keep him from pursuing his goals. I don't know who God is talking to this morning. All of these things are good, but what I believe should be first and foremost remembered in a daddy's legacy is that he walked with God. Hello, somebody. You want a man that walks with God. You want a man that reads the Bible and walks with God. You want a man that's praying who walks. I wish I had some help in here. Walks with God. You want a man who ain't afraid to cry because he's walking with God. That word walk is the biblical expression for fellowship and obedience with God. It refers to the manner of life you see in a person living in an intimate, close relationship with God. You can talk all you want about how much you love God and this, that, and the other, but it ought to show out in your walk. I didn't say you won't cuss no more, but y'all cut down on your cussing by now. Y'all looking at me funny. I didn't say you stop completely, because the thing Paul said, the thing I said I wasn't going to do no more. I wasn't going to cuss. I wasn't going to fuss. I wasn't going to eat. Out there, Paul said he wasn't going to do some things, but he did it anyhow, because he's human. Understand that your spiritual walk, your growth, and mine is directly related to your walk with God. Walking is also, listen, a step-by-step process. Hello, somebody. Don't say that you don't care because your daddy didn't tell you he loved you, because you do. You might have hidden it somewhere, but it never goes away. Oh, it doesn't go away. Everybody, daughter, son, wants to hear their daddy say, I love you. Don't tell me about what you did for me. Tell me that I love you. You know, sometimes that's the hardest thing a man can do. He wants to show you. I bought you this. I bought you that. I don't want to hear about that. I want to hear the word, I love you. Women want to hear that too. I wish I had some honest people in here. Don't keep telling me what you did for me and what you're doing for me. It ain't all about sex. Just tell me sometimes, I love you. Psalms 37, 4 and 5 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you your heart's desires. Commit everything you do, listen, to the Lord. Trust him and he will, listen, help you. Taking delight in the Lord means you find peace in your heart and fulfillment in him. Let me ask the question today, perhaps rhetorical to some people, but you don't have to raise your hand, but I'm just asking it. And depending upon where you are with the Lord, it might convict, it might convince, it might convert, or it might confirm. Are you walking with the Lord today, fathers? Out there? In here? I see one hand, Abram, I see him. Are you walking with the Lord? If Pastor Pointer was talking to himself, Pastor Pointer, are you what? Yes. Are you perfect? No. I'm not talking about being perfect. Mothers, don't look at your man or the father of your children down because he's flawed in this, that, and the other. Thank God that he's walking. Because we can flip the script and look at your flaws. Oh, man, I messed up. Got time to touch you up in here. Walking with the Lord, can I drop this in on you? Men, fathers, walking with the Lord doesn't mean if we go to church every Sunday, God will give you a brand new Lexus. Walking with the Lord don't mean you're going to get a BMW. I'm messing somebody up. Walking with the Lord don't mean you're going to get a Rolls Royce. Ah, I heard one thing. Walking with the Lord don't mean that you're not going to have any other bills or be struggling. But the idea behind the passage I just read, Elder, Psalms 37, 4 and 5, and other passages like it, is that when we fully delight in the eternal things of God, our desires will begin to parallel more with God's thinking than our own thinking. See, we can get caught up with what the world wants. Just the other day, I had to turn on the station and they had rich people talking about their homes. Not home by itself, homes. Well, I usually travel to Europe, the guy says, and I try to bring the European scene to my house in California or Florida. And for a moment, I envied him. Man. You got a house, not at your house, the ceiling is way up there. Need an elevator to get to the third landing. You don't go to McDonald's. You don't go to Chick-fil-A. You might have the owner or the chef that do something at McDonald's. You come to his house and prepare his food. And for a minute, I said, oh, man, look what I'm missing. But those same individuals still have issues. Still got problems. Still get hooked on drugs. Matthew 6:33, New King James Version says, but seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, the Lord's, and all these things, here we go, the necessities of life. Everything we want is not a necessity. Because some people wouldn't be able to handle rich. I didn't say you. Y'all looking at me funny. I know you can handle you. You know, rich. Or then again, maybe you can't. Some people got a new car. Some people, the pandemic, COVID, they left and ain't came back. Wow. But they still got new cars. Still buying for the house. And you can do those things. But don't neglect your church. Am I right about it? The greatest legacy we can pass on as fathers, listen, it's not our inheritance. Am I doing all right? Y'all, give me a few more minutes. The greatest legacy we pass on as fathers is not our inheritance. It's not even a good name, but it's more the spiritual heritage that we give to our children. Daddies, fathers, you ought to want your child to walk in obedience to the Lord. In this sin-sick secular society, that's what you ought to want. Am I right about it? It's about having a love-filled household. You can walk into a house that got everything brand new and know there's chaos in that house. You can walk into a house and everybody's smiling and you think to yourself, man, there's a whole lot of trouble in here. And they smiling. In the world, we call it vibes. I like to call it spirit. Spirit ain't right. Stop sending your children into those non-spiritual environments. Hello, somebody. Father, stop allowing your children to go to those ugly, ungodly environments. Well, they grown. Wow. Remember when David was on his deathbed, he said in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9, New Living Translation. David said, and Solomon, my son, learn to know the God of your ancestors intimately. It's what he wanted his son to know. Worship and serve him with your whole heart and a willing mind, for the Lord sees every heart. I wish I could talk to somebody. He knows every plan and thought. And if you seek him, you will find him. Who is God talking to? If you're really seeking God, you'll find him. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. Another illustration of forsaking and renouncing or turning away from his word. God says, I will cast thee off forever from being king. I won't allow you to have peace. You can have a whole lot of stuff. gospel, but no peace, no happiness. To cast off is an expression or the idea that usually means to untie a boat so it can leave the dock or just drift away. You don't want God to allow you to just drift. I wish I could help somebody. Talking about a father's legacy. He walked with God. Mothers, women, help your husband, help your father, your children to walk with God. Don't ride him all the time about what he's not doing. You can't help him by showing him all the time what he's not. Help him to understand some things that he is or is becoming. Oh, I wish somebody would help me. God has placed parents, fathers and mothers for that matter, as the authority in the life of your children. And in many ways, listen, the father represents God to his children. Hello, somebody. I'm reminded of a story about a little boy. A little boy was frightened one night by a very loud thunderstorm. You know, thunderstorms can shake you up. Big booms. And the little boy called to his father in the next room and said, "Daddy, I'm scared." His father called back from the next room, "Son, don't be scared. God is with you." The boy paused for a moment and said, "Yeah, but I want some with skin on them in here with me right now." Y'all missed it. That's where the role of the father comes in, to go in and comfort his child. A mother's going to do that regardless. Come on, mommy, I can't. Daddy, go in and see about your child. In many ways, fathers are like God with skin on to their children. I don't mean it literally, but the next closest thing to God. And that's why when you mess up, God, fathers, when you mess up, you don't spend time with your children. When you don't take the time with your children. When you're always fussing and talking about hitting them and all that kind of. They associate father. When they hear about God, the father, they say, "He's just like my daddy. Mean." Hello, somebody. Y'all looking at y'all ain't never heard this before. Sometimes children relate to God in heaven as a father, when they say, "Our Father in heaven," yeah, I know about our Father on earth. He ain't no good. He beats up my mother. They don't have any respect. Fathers, you don't know how much you carry. Wait. Father's image, strength, love, reliability, and love, here we go, for that child's mother. At least respect her. Do you not know that you can tell whether or not your daughter's man or boyfriend is any good by the way they treat their mothers? If they don't treat their mothers right, what you think you're going to do with your daughter? If they cuss their mothers out and got an attitude with their mothers who raised them all these years, what you gonna think he gonna do to your daughter when he get about? Watch how they treat their mother and their mothers alive. Watch how they treat their grandmothers. Is that making sense to anybody? Watch how they treat or respect elderly people. If they don't respect other women, that's what they gonna do to your daughters. The secret of home rule is self-rule. Being yourself what you want your children to be. Am I right about it? I'm hastening. Notice some bad habits that can hinder your walk with God. Give me 5 minutes. Bad habits that disconnect you from God's power. Fathers, daddies, men, listen up. Women, y'all can take something from this too. Bad habits that disconnect you from God's power, his perspective, and his presence in your life. One of the things that will hinder any man or any father is laziness. Y'all ain't gonna help me today. Help me, Holy Ghost. Proverbs 13:4 says, the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Can I give you another hindrance? Old habits. Ephesians 4:22-23, New King James Version says, put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Stop hanging around and associating with bad influences like some other people. Stop hanging with the old school boys. They were your dogs, your homies. But they're not saved. You love them, but you don't go to hang out in the club with them no more. Well, I ain't gonna buy nothing but a Coke. The devil is a liar. I told you, I gotta hasten on. I can't make this a part two because this Father's Day. But listen, I remember when I first got saved and I went back up on 52nd Street waving my flag of Jesus. I didn't have it, but literally on the corner with a mic, with a bullhorn. The Lord! They said, is that who I think? The Lord! Is that who was in the park with me drinking wine? The Lord! Is that the one you used to hang out in the bar? The Lord! That pointer! The Lord will save you! They came over. First of all, it took a whole lot of spiritual fortitude to go back where I used to hang at. They said, hey man, it was a hot summer day. I remember 52nd and Spruce. The bar I used to hang around with, Crystal, was half a block away. They said, man, come on out the heat. Let's go down to the bar and get a brew. Talk about Jesus. Eleanor, I couldn't do that. Let's go down and get another brew. It'd have been all over. Put off. You can't have. They don't know the God you know. They don't know that they know that they should know that they should know like you know. They only gonna know it by your walk. Irresponsibility will hinder your walk. James 4:17. Y'all read it when you get time. Discouragement will hinder your walk. Galatians 6:9 said, let us not grow weary of well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we don't faint. As I hasten to a close, remember Enoch was a father who walked with God. Am I right about it? And although so little was mentioned about this man of faith, just a few verses, but he had a testimony. He had a powerful testimony. He walked with God and he pleased God. There's no better testimony for a father than to have him to walk with God. I'm trying to close. Help me, Holy Ghost. You ain't need to know. Enoch walked with God. And his family followed that walk. I'm talking about a father's legacy. He walked with the Lord. But guess what? He found grace and favor in the eyes of the Lord. God said, and I gotta hasten through all of this, Enoch was a part of the minority, not the majority. Because during that time, Genesis 5, 6, 7, Everybody was doing their own thing like they're doing today. God said, I can't tolerate this. Some translations make you think when God says, I'm sorry, and repent, like God admitted he made a mistake. No. God just knew, I got to do something about these people. The Bible says, with Noah, you know he built an ark. God sent a flood. Am I right about it? 40 days and 40 nights. God will do something. But that is, if you want to leave your family, your sons and daughters in good company, make sure you're walking with the Lord. Am I right about it? You want to walk with the Lord. You need to understand there are men in the Bible, other men that walked with the Lord. Elijah walked with the Lord. Enoch walked with the Lord. Don't miss this. There are only two people in the Bible that God took to heaven without dying. Don't tell me it don't mean something. Enoch walked with the Lord. Just like Elijah. And it must have been something about that walk that God says, you ain't gonna even have to die. I'm gonna take you up. You see, it said he took him up, he disappeared. Two men walking with the Lord, using my sanctified imagination. Can you imagine walking in such a way with the Lord? Male or female? Let's make it non-biased. Walking with the Lord in such a way that your walk keeps you so great that God says, Red Pointer, you ain't gonna have to die. I'm gonna cut you up. You don't have to feel the pain, the anguish of death. Why did God take Enoch and Elijah? Not Elisha, but Elijah. Elisha was his servant. That's another story. The Bible does not specifically give us the reason why. But if we were to go on to Revelation, it says those two individuals will probably be the two witnesses. I wish I could do some preaching up in here. Theological perspective. You gotta be ready when the Lord comes. Am I right about it? You gotta be open when the Lord comes. Am I right about it? You gotta be convicted and know that God is God all by himself when the Lord comes. Your children need to see you every moment down on your knees, calling on the Lord. Your children need to see every moment tears of repentance. Your kids need to see that daddy, he loved the Lord so much so that he'll do whatever it is. Somebody need to hear that daddy said, praise the Lord in season and out of season. But the Lord is good. Ain't he alive? Say yeah. Say yeah. A father's legacy. He walked with the Lord. That's only half the sermon, but that's enough. It's so much meat in there. I just gave you some of the something. Somebody in here, as we rest on our feet, out there,